Welcome to Saturday EMP. Let's start off with a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, God, for your mercies that have been renewed for us this morning, Lord. Father, I just thank you for my brothers and my sisters who have responded to the call of prayer of this house, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that they have come out here to pray. Father, I just humble myself before them and before you, God. I pray, Lord, that you protect my mind from distractions today, Lord, from my tongue from error, and my heart from pride, God, as I just try to share what you have imparted into my heart. Father, Lord, I pray that there will be no gap between your intended will to encourage and to heal and my words today, Lord. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. Good morning. So I just got back from holidays this past week, or last week, really. A big group of us, 25, 30 of us, went over to Africa and to celebrate Sheldon and Viv's wedding. They just got back from vacation, so please keep them in your prayers. But it was so great to just hang out with the members of this house and... it was such a great time, you know. It was my third time in South Africa, and I had such a great time. And after that, two friends and I, we went up to Namibia. And in Namibia, I didn't really know where that was either. but we also had a great time up there. And, I was just so amazed to see that there was... such a functioning ecosystem that existed in the desert. And, I consider myself to be someone who's actually quite well-traveled and I've seen a lot of things. But, it's amazing to see that there's an entire ecosystem that functions by the grace of the Lord in the desert. And I was just humbly reminded that that the desert... that the word in Hebrew for desert is midbar, and midbar is also synonymous to the word mouth in Hebrew, and that's because it signifies when the Israelites were in the wilderness that that they heard the Lord speak. So I just want to bless anyone who may be going through their time of a dry season, or anyone who is going through a desert place in their life right now. I just pray and I just bless you with some kind of breakthrough sometime when the Lord will speak to you in this time. I also celebrated my 8th Thanksgiving when I was in Namibia. It wasn't a turkey dinner. It was rather a very bad curry dinner that I made. And it was out of that place where this sharing kind of came to me, because I realized that Thanksgiving is not something that should be annual, but it should just be a type of lifestyle, yeah? So, and I also just had a really rough week this week, so if I don't make sense, please extend some mercy and some grace. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 116 today, and I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. I'm just going to be reading some parts of the psalm. So if you go to Psalm 116, I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to 12, 1 to 7, then 12 to 14. 1 to 7, 12 to 14, and the last verse is going to be 17. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found much trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple, and I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Verse 12. What shall I then render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, and I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The psalmist has a very good question in verse 12. What then shall I render unto God for all his benefits toward me? That's something that I will try to explore today. So I like to consider myself to be someone who is actually kind of easy to get along with, or I like to think that, and that I get along with a lot of different kind of people. And it's not always easy. You know, there are people who are kind of high-strung, and there are people who are chill, and there are people who are easy to get along with, and, you know, type A personalities, right? And but there's one type of people who I generally kind of find myself not to get along with too well. And those people are people who I think are very proficient at always taking rather than giving. And obviously, it's kind of subjective to me, but you know, there are always those people who are always expecting something, but have a difficult time offering you anything. You know, I feel like we kind of became a generation sometimes where we became so proficient at taking rather than giving that sometimes it comes into church. You know, it just kind of burns my behind when I hear people, not particularly at this church, but when I hear people say, oh, I didn't get anything out of the sermon today, or I didn't get anything out of the worship today. And it bothers me because I feel like that is not what the essence of worship really is. That you will likely be missing the essence of worship if the only question you have when you walk into the house of God is, what am I going to get out of the sermon? When am I going to get my word? When am I going to get my revelation and my breakthrough? Rather, I feel like the essence of worship is, or the best, or worship at its best, is when there's a congregation of people who walk into the house of God and say, wow, God has pulled me through this week, this really, really tough week. And when I think about a God who has been so good to me, my question is not who's preaching. My question is not who's doing worship or what the sermon is about. But my question is, what can I give back to this God who has pulled me through this week? And that is where the psalmist kind of lands in Psalm 116. Psalm 116, if you do a little bit of research, is a part of a collection of psalms between Psalm 113 and 117 that is known as the Hallel Psalms. And the Hallel Psalms are called the Hallel Psalms because they all end with the same phrase. And that phrase is, if you look in your Bibles, it's praise the Lord. Okay, so every psalm between 113 and 117 ends with the phrase, praise the Lord. In our Bibles, in English, it says praise the Lord, but in Hebrew, the word is hallelujah. And the word hallelujah, and that's why it's called the Hallel Songs, right? So you must now be wondering, why is the psalmist saying praise the Lord? Well, he's saying praise the Lord because these psalms, Psalms 113 to 117, were the songs that were sung during the season of Passover. Now, if I was to remind you what Passover was, it's when, or I should say, the season of Passover. Okay, so they were singing this during the season of Passover. So the season of Passover is when the Israelites in the Promised Land, once a year, will press stop, hit rewind, look back, and say, and recall everything that the Lord has done to get them out of Egypt, where the actual Passover happened, right? The Passover from Exodus is what actually happened, but then the season of Passover till this day is around Easter. And when they look back and they recall everything that the Lord had done to get them out of Egypt, it was a time of reflection. They were thinking about how the Lord brought them out of the hand of Pharaoh. They were thinking about how he brought them to the Red Sea and parted the ways, how he rained down manna when they were hungry in the wilderness, how he guided them and how he guided them through the wilderness with cloud and fire, how he protected them from the serpents and scorpions, how he brought them to Jericho and crumbled down the walls, and how he eventually led them to the promised land flowing with milk and honey. And when they looked back on that, they had no choice but really to involuntarily say, praise the Lord. And so when we, or when our memories kind of go back and have a walk down memory lane, you know, we have to recall how good the Lord has been to us. That the Lord has, the ways that the Lord has made, you know, the doors that he has opened, the protection that he gave you, the direction that he gave you, the people that he put you in front of, all these different things, that when you look back, there ought to be somebody who involuntarily say hallelujah or praise the Lord, for he's been so good to me. And that is where the psalmist kind of is right now. So he's walking down memory lane, and he's looking back, and he's like, wow, the Lord has been so good to me. And he says that, my God, that there are some benefits to walking with this God. That there are benefits to walking with this God. Now, we all know that when we go for a job interview and there's a new job at hand, that the base salary is not the only thing that we actually really look at, right? We look at benefits. We look at mat leave. We look at retirement schemes. You know, we look at all sorts of things, right, and make sure that there's something else on the table before we sign a contract. And what this guy is saying is the psalmist is saying, wow, there are some benefits to walking with God. So here are the benefits, okay? Here are the benefits that come from your relationship with God. The first benefit is that God answers prayer. In verse 1, he says, I love the Lord, for he hears my voice and my supplications. And, you know, this is what I found out. When you call upon the name of the Lord will answer you. And that is a benefit. You see, you might have missed it if you are either not praying, so you're not getting any prayers answered, or you're too holy and everything's just going great for you, right? But there are all of us who've knelt down on our knees and when we called upon the name of the Lord and when he answered, that was a benefit, right? See, here are some reasons why. There may have been times in your life when you have knelt down and you have prayed something that you didn't even know what to pray for, and God answered. What do I mean by that? There are some situations in your life where it may have been so rough, or you may have been so confused that when you kneel down to God, you're just like, I don't know, right? You don't know what to say. You don't know what to ask for. You don't know what to ask God to do. You don't even know where God should begin. And when you are in that position and the Lord still answers you, he still blesses you, he still answers your prayer, and he opens doors that you did not even know that existed, I think that that is a benefit. Yeah, that's a benefit. No? Okay, maybe it's not a benefit, but I think it's a benefit. And there are also other times another reason why answered prayer is a benefit is because there are times in your life when, or there have been times in my life at least, when I've prayed and I realized that I've been praying for the wrong things. Now, when you look back at your prayer life and there are things that you prayed, I mean, okay, fine. Maybe I'm kind of young and I'm too young to say this, right? But like, I remember very clearly that there are things in my life that I prayed for that I now am happy that the Lord said no, right? And that is a benefit, because if you're praying for the wrong things, or should I say that the Lord answered you in such a way that he had something better for you, right? Then there ought to be some people who praise God for his answer of no. And, thank God that you are not put in that relationship, and thank God that you didn't marry that person, thank God that you didn't take that job or go to that place or walk down that road. And when you're at that point where you don't know what you're asking God, or that you know that you weren't praying for the right things, that's also a benefit. So the first benefit is that God answers prayers. The second benefit, the author says, is found in verse 7. He says that God has dealt bountifully with me. You see, God doesn't just do the bare minimum, right? God doesn't just skate by and just give you just enough, right? I mean, when was the last time, honestly, when was the last time that you gave God a C minus for blessing you? When did God ever show up and not impress you, right? The writer Paul in Ephesians 3, he says that the God that we serve is so good that he goes exceedingly, that he goes abundantly, and that he goes above all of our petitions. Now, that's a benefit, because I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've certainly been there when you're asking for a little and God gave you a lot, right? When you asked for just enough, he gave you in abundance. And when you prayed for something, he gave you basically everything, right? When you have a God that responds to you in such a way that he goes, that he deals with you bountifully, that he goes exceedingly, and that he goes abundantly, and that he goes above your petitions, then I think that that is a benefit. The third thing that he says is that he says that the Lord has been merciful to me. Verse 5, he says, the Lord has been merciful with me. And I don't know if I really have experienced God's mercy. Like, of course I do every time, but I feel like you don't really understand mercy until you kind of really screw up, right? I mean, yeah, there's some sort of grace and stuff, but like when you really understand God's mercy is when you kind of know that you have not been walking right and the Lord still decided to bless you, right? And that is marked all throughout Scripture, where even in the wilderness, when the Lord, when he sees his people not walking right, that they're walking in circles, that they're doubting, and he still decides to bless them. He still decides to show up, right? The Lord, he says that the Lord has been merciful with me. In verse 6, he even goes as far as saying that the Lord preserves the simple. The Lord preserves the simple, and a translation for simple in this context, I looked it up, and it means stupid or foolish. That the Lord preserves the stupid and foolish. Now, this may not be for everyone, definitely not the people who came out to Saturday EMP, but, you know, there have been times in my life when I have honestly started my prayers in honest confession, and I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I need to ask you to do this, right? I've had times when my prayers, when God answered a prayer that I know I shouldn't have had to pray, and I've asked God to do something that I know he shouldn't really have had to do, but he still did, right? Because I was kind of stuck on stupid, and I was kind of stuck on things that I know wasn't really right. But here it says that the Lord is merciful and that he has preserved the simple. Right? So if you are in a situation where, you know, you're kind of in walking not right, be reminded that the Lord is sovereign, that when you're crazy, that he still is in control. And when things are just crumbling apart before your eyes, that the Lord will hold it together. And the last benefit that he says is that the Lord is always protecting me. In verse 8, he says, he delivered me from Sheol. And Sheol is the place of death. It's Gehenna. It's hell. And you know, there may have been situations in your life when you think that you should have lost it all, when you've almost experienced death, or when you have experienced something that you might have lost it all, and the Lord still had his protective hand over you, and he spoke to you into that situation, and you are what you are because the Lord got you out of what may have come your way. So, so the benefits are a Lord that answers prayers, a God who goes above and beyond your petitions, a God who has been merciful to you, and a God who is protecting you. And the psalmist is saying, when I think about this kind of God, when I think about a God who does answer prayer, who goes above beyond my petitions, who is merciful, and who is protecting me, what can I give this God? Verse 12, what can I render unto this God who's been so good to me? So don't lose the train of thought. The train of thought is that God's been so good to me that when I think about how much he's done for me, that God has been too good for me to do nothing, that he's done too much for me to come to church and always want to receive something, and that he's given up too much for me to think that he should be the one that's happy that I'm just at church, right? The question is, what can I give unto this God for all his benefits toward me? Now, the first thing that you have to know is that you can't outgive God, right? And this question is kind of rhetorical in that kind of way, is that you will never be able to outgive God. But the question is a hard question. It's what can I give back unto God in thanksgiving for all that he's done for me? And he comes with 3 points, and that's just my 3 points today. The first thing that he says is, I will take the cup of salvation. That to give God something, I'm going to take the cup of salvation. Now, I was just as confused, don't worry, or maybe it's a Saturday morning, right? But the question is, what should I be giving to God? And the answer is, I'm going to take the cup of salvation. The psalmist is asking, what can I render unto God? And the answer is that you're going to give back to God by taking an offer. And what is that offer? The offer is very simple. It is the offer. Accept the offer that God has put on the table and drink from the cup of forgiveness of sins. Allow him to, you know, dwell and remain in relationship with you. And, you know, you have to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the first thing that you need to do. You know, when at the time when this was written, it was extremely rude for someone to walk into someone's home and deny or refuse something that they've prepared. Put it this way. I know, you know, there are some mission trips that are happening right now. I think there's a team in Mongolia. There's a team that coming out to Manila going out soon. You know, SP mission trips, we eat well in SP mission trips, okay? We're well fed, right? But when I recall back my previous mission trip encounters or experiences, when we go into impoverished areas, our team leaders will always remind us, hey, you know, they don't have a lot, but they have dignity. So when they prepare something for you, it's not going to be a ribeye steak, right? It may not look that great to you, but if someone prepares something sacrificially for you, you ought to have the good sense to accept what they have prepared for you. If I was to tell you about the cup of salvation, our God, in the fullness of time, had to come down to earth, put on flesh through Jesus Christ, allow him to be crucified on the cross so that there will be a cup of salvation in our midst. And the very first thing that you could do is when you are wondering what you can give back to God for his goodness to you, it is to receive the offer that he has given you. Now, if you're thinking, oh, wait, I've been saved since I was born, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit when I was one, and started speaking in tongues when I was three, right? I'm already saved. I already received the cup of salvation. The NIV translation says, not I will take the cup of salvation, but it says, I will lift the cup of salvation. that in some translations, lifting, they use the word lift. See, God doesn't only require us to receive the gift of salvation, but he requires us to lift it up high. And when you lift it up high, in a biblical sense, and even now, it is for on display for all people to see. Okay? And so when you think about a God who has been so good to you, who has been merciful, who's been protective and going beyond petitions, then the minimum thing that you could do is to show and to lift up your cup of salvation, that you've been blood bought by the blood of Jesus, right? And you know what, actually, okay, let me say something that might get me into trouble, okay? I might get in trouble from my house church leaders, which, by the way, all three of them are here, right? Or from the pastors, but I want to go as far as say this, okay? I want to say, you ready? I want to say that if you, okay, let me put it this way. If I don't think that you're necessarily that grateful if your salvation is your best kept secret. Am I allowed to say something like that, Max? Yeah? Like, I just think that you may not be as thankful as you ought to be if you are walking in the midst of people every day and they have no idea how important Jesus is in your life, right? And I'm not just talking about simple encounters, right? Just people who you meet or just people from church. I'm talking about your colleagues. I'm talking about your family. And if your best kept secret is your salvation, then maybe you might want to think about how grateful you are, right? You know, by lifting the cup of salvation, you're saying, I'm going public with my faith, right? And that there are things that you can say, that there are things that you can't say, that there are things that you cannot do around me because I'm a Christian, right? So, I just want to encourage anyone who needs that bold push to declare their faith and go public with their faith. Hey, listen, man, like, everyone else is coming out of the closet. Right? Like, you know, if there's one thing that you ought to be proud of, it's the fact that you are a Christian, right? And that you received the gift of salvation, right? So, okay, we gotta go. So the first thing is that he says, okay, I'm gonna take the cup of salvation and I'm gonna lift it up. And the second thing that he says is, I'm gonna call on the name of the Lord. Okay, simply put, he says that I'm gonna pray. Okay. Now, in verse 1, you will remember that he already testified that God answers prayers. But what he's saying is, I'm so grateful that when I call upon the name of the Lord and that he answers, I'm going to be so grateful that he answered that prayer that I'm going to call upon his name again. Okay? I'll say that one more time. That was really fast. Okay? So, he's saying, I'm so grateful that when I prayed and that he answered my prayers, I'm going to be so grateful that he answered that prayer that I'm going to call upon his name again. That when he answers that prayer, I'm going to be so grateful that I'm going to call upon his name again. And the best way that you could express gratitude to God is to maintain that dialogue and stay in relationship with him, right? One of the ways that you could do that is to pray. And you know, it's so funny because we've been kind of going through a time of prayer, and I've been speaking about prayer with a lot of friends and brothers and sisters and other people, and a lot of people say something like this. They say, "Okay, well, I guess I'll pray about it," right? And I'm just like, "Oh man, you kind of talk about prayer like it doesn't work, or that it's some experimental drug that hasn't been approved yet, or something," you know. But be reassured that when you're praying in alignment with God's will, that he answers. And when you get an answered prayer, that there ought to be some sort of transformation in your life, and that should excite you to continue to pray. And I know that's easier said than done, but if you recall when your prayers were answered, it was so exciting that the best thing that you want to do next is pray again. Right? And that's what he's saying. It's saying that when I pray, when I call upon the name of the Lord, I am essentially putting you first in my priority before I check my bank account, before I ask for counsel from PSAM or from my house church leaders, or that when I'm praying to you first, God, I am saying that you are my priority and not my last option, right? Okay, so let me put it this way. So at work, there as in a broker life, right, we have some difficult clients, right? And every now and then there'll be some big event that happens, and there are things that we have to do for our clients. Now there's this one particular client that that we've done a lot of things for, and there was another event coming up, and the response that I get from him is, "Hey, you know, so we need X, Y, and Z, but." Just let us know what you think and if you could do it or not, and we will see with other brokers. Okay. So my boss gets this email and he calls this guy up and he says, "Hey, how many times have we come through for you? Right? How many times have we done this for you and that we did it well?" Right? Obviously, that was kind of like a selfish thing because we want to win the business, right? But I feel like that's what the Lord is trying to say. How many times have I answered your prayers? How many times have I come and blessed you above what you are asking for? How many times have I extended my mercies to you and how many more times do I have to do it before you start trusting me as your top priority? Right? How many times do I have to show up and be reliable that I am trustworthy and that I'm God? Right? The first thing he says is, "I'll take a cup of salvation, lift it up." Second thing is, "I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord." Right? And the last thing is this. He says that, "I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving." I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And you know, when you think about a God who's answered your prayers and gone beyond your petitions, been merciful to you, you ought to be saying thank you for all the benefits that he's given you. But strangely enough, the psalmist says, he uses the word sacrifice. How can thanksgiving be a sacrifice? And we all know how. It's because sometimes giving thanks is not necessarily the easiest thing to do, right? That's why it's sometimes a sacrifice. Now, I think the only thing, and I'll close with this, the only thing that I could really say about this is that praising God is not really about your place, but it's about acknowledging God's presence in your life. So it's not necessarily about the place in life, but it's about acknowledging God's presence in your life. And the best example in my life or in the Bible that I could come up with is if you read through the Psalms, there's a Psalm 137. And we're not going to read it, but it's a psalm that the Israelites sing when they're actually in exile in Babylon. And it's actually kind of funny. It's like, if you read it, it's a totally misplaced psalm, but okay, it's not misplaced, but it seems odd that it's in there, okay? Nothing in the Bible is misplaced, guys. Okay, the Bible is perfect in every way. But when you read it, 136, it's like, "Oh, God, be the glory. God, you're so merciful." And then immediately in 137, it's a song of sorrow. And it's a song of sorrow because the Israelites are singing it in Babylon, and they're recalling the beauty of Zion. Okay, and actually, even it says, "How can we sing?" It's like one of the first words of the psalm is, "How can we sing?" It's a psalm. It's a song, and there's a song that's teaching you how can we sing. That's how misplaced it kind of is, but it's misplaced because of this. They are in Babylon, and essentially, this is what they're saying. And by the way, Zion is just another word for Jerusalem, and it signifies the permanent residence of God. In like the cultic context of, well, not cultic, but in the Jewish context, right? So this is what they're saying. "We are here in Babylon, and God is in Zion," right? essentially what they're saying is we cannot praise God where we are because God is not where we are. He's actually left in the temple, back in Zion. And now the temple's destroyed. So now they're weeping, right? And so they start to doubt the presence of God in Babylon because they have limited the presence of God in Jerusalem. Does that make sense? So they're doubting the presence of God in Babylon because they have already limited the presence of God to Zion, right? And if you read through Scripture, you'll find that God actually was originally not in favor of the building of the temple. And he expresses this in, I want to say, 1 Chronicles and in the book of Samuel. He expresses that he does not need or want the temple to be built. Okay? And he says this for one very good reason. And he says that he prefers the tabernacle. Okay? Now, if you remember, God anointed the building of the tabernacle, and he even gave specific instructions to the building of the tabernacle. He never gave instructions of how to build a temple. David did it on his own. Right? And the reason why God was against, or I think the reason that God was against the idea of the temple is because he knew that the Israelites would only think that if they built a temple that is stationary, by the way, right, that the only place that he will dwell is in that temple, right? But he reminds the Israelites that the word tabernacle literally means to go alongside with. Okay, that's what the word tabernacle actually means, to go along the side with. And he wants to remind Israel and say, you know what, when you were in the wilderness, I was tabernacling with you, right? When you were facing your enemies, I was tabernacling with you. When you were, when you did not know where you were going, I was tabernacling with you. I am a tabernacling God. I will go with you to all ends of the earth. But the Israelites are like, oh, you're only in the temple in Jerusalem, and now that that's destroyed, right? What they're missing is this. They're missing that the presence of God, that God's goodness is not just a place, right? It's not a place in your life. It's not when you're walking through the desert or when you're in your low place in life, right? It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with your acknowledgement of God's presence in your life, and God's presence is everywhere because he promises us that he's a tabernacling God, right? So I just want to finish right there. I'm sorry I took a little bit more time than I really thought, but Ernie, if you want to come up. If you look back into your prayer life, right? If you look back to your prayer life and you recall the goodness of God, the ways that he's answered your prayers, even if you did not know what you were praying, even if the answer was no, or even if you know, you pray things that you shouldn't have even prayed, and he still came through. And if you recall the times when he's been abundant with you, when he's been so good to you, or when you recall the times that he's been merciful to you, and recall the times that he's protected you, and you wonder, man, what can I give unto this God? You know, Thanksgiving shouldn't be an annual thing. It should be a lifestyle, right? I was actually called out on that in Namibia. I was like, guys, it's Canadian Thanksgiving, and you know, I just want to give thanks. And they're like, oh, well, we give thanks every day, right? And you're like, oh, right? But you know, as we actually go into the wider global Thanksgiving, the American Thanksgiving, which is, you know, whatever, right? Can you reflect on things that God has really been so good in your life for? And can you, and will you, and that's my challenge, will you receive the cup of salvation and lift it up on high? Give thanks by responding to God and sharing with others that he's worthy to be shared. And will you continue on your relationship with God? Will you have that dialogue with him? And the best way to say thanks is to say, God, I trust you as my number one priority. And lastly, will you offer him the sacrifice of thanksgiving? He knows it's not easy sometimes to give thanks. It's very easy to give thanks when you know things are going great, right? It's like loving the lovable. And Jesus in regards to that says there's no credit in that. There's no credit in loving the lovable. And just as easy as that, it's easy to give thanks when it's easy to do, when everything's going well. But if things are not going that well, if you are in a desert place, will you offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and be reminded that God is not limited to the place where you are in your life? Whether you wake up in heaven or in hell, whether you are going through the mountain or you're going through the valley, God says, I'm going to tabernacle with you. I'm going to be with you. Yeah? So let's pray. Yeah, Father, we just thank you, God, for, just this morning, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for all your goodness to us, God. Father, Lord, would you just be with us as we go through this week, Lord? And we just want to declare that you are the number one priority in our lives, Lord. Father, Lord, help us to offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving and just, for you are just so good to us, God, and we just want to give something a little back. And we will do that in giving thanks. In your precious name we pray, amen. So let's go to our Saturday prayer. So let's lift up our community members who are battling cancer and is going through chemo. Let's spend some time just praying for them. Like every day, just go after one name this week and really lift them up, yeah? Let's also pray for those who are battling illness, but also in the need of salvation. And if you know anyone there whose name is up there, let's lift them up, that they'll be witnesses, that they'll be declare the goodness of God to their family and to their friends. Let's pray for those people who are also battling other kind of infirmities. Let's lift them up, yeah? We do this every day, but let's really go after it today. And let's pray like that God's going to respond because we pray today, right? Because you came out here today, that He's going to respond today. Let's also lift up those members of a community who are looking for jobs, that they'll be encouraged and that they'll have divine intervention, divine meetings. Let's lift them up. Let's go through our Saturday prayers. The mission focus, North Korea, open doors for ministry, missional opportunities, partnerships in Asia right now, the persecuted churches and the Middle East. Like I said, never mind. There's already one for that. Okay, so quite an interesting week for NK as well this week. So let's just lift up, yeah, that there'll be peace in that region. And also just what's been going on in Niger and there are different places that's going through a lot right now. So let's just lift up. Let's pray for the SP Weekend Gathering, Prison Outreach, Drug Rehab Outreach, Sunday Services, Noah's Ark, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SPIN Services and Activities, GIC, LAM, and all other meetings. Just tomorrow, we're going to have a guest speaker. Robert Glover is going to be coming for Care for Children Ministries. We'll also be having an info session after. Please lift them up. Let's just pray that our church responds in a way that is pleasing to God, because there's going to be an info session after in how we can partner with God and other ministries to become a foster family. So let's really lift up that the people will be interested in this, yeah, and that they'll come and they'll come to the mission, the session. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our house churches, Fortress Mawan, Southside, Westside, who's meeting this weekend. We just had a thing of the Lord's Prayer. Let's just pray that they'll experience God's intimacy through prayer. And lastly, let's lift up the mission trip. There are a handful of people who are in Mongolia right now, led by Pastor Mary and Pastor Ricky. They'll be there until looks like tomorrow. So let's continue to lift them up. They're there to build a playground for children. So let's really lift them up as they just finish up their mission trip this week. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for just your presence in our lives, Lord. Father, we just lift up all of our prayers and our following prayers to you, Lord. May you receive all glory and may you receive all power in our lives. In your precious name we pray, amen. Enjoy your prayer time.